Well, good morning. I'm sure, I don't know why we say it every year, but it just feels like every year the year just seems to be running by. Just the other day we were celebrating Easter. Now, during this week, we'll be celebrating and remembering the Ascension. On Thursday is the day in which normally it would have been a public holiday, but in the new dispensation, that holiday fell away. And so I want to just focus our attention and remind us of that event, the Ascension, and in our message today, I've entitled my message, When Jesus Left This Earth. It's a word of prayer first. Lord, I thank you again for your time that you did spend on earth. But Lord, I thank you too for all that is contained in your returning to heaven and even the prospect of your returning back. I just thank you, Lord, for that occasion and all that led up to that. So we just want to commit ourselves to now, remind us again today, Lord, of all those vital things that you left with the disciples in those last moments on earth. We just want to commit ourselves again and ask that you would lead and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, I want to read some of the passages that relate to that particular event. I'm not going to read everything about them, but during this last week in my devotions, I've been looking at Matthew 28, and I'm going to look at that during the rest of this week as well. So Matthew 28, 16 to 20 says, When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mark 16, verse 19. It says in the middle there, Jesus, when he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Matthew 24, verses 50 and 51 says, When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and then 9 through 11. It says, On one occasion, while he was talking, eating with them, he gave them this command, Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit the Father has promised you, that you've heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 9 through 11. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from the sight. They looked up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. When Jesus left this earth, well, I said it a little while ago, you know, when you're dealing with somebody right at the end of their life, and they don't kind of talk, pious platitudes with them. When you're dealing with somebody towards the end of their life, they want to talk important things. So I'm of the belief that some of the most important things Jesus shared was on this occasion as he was about to leave this earth. So, firstly, when Jesus left this earth, he strengthened his disciples with a revelation. Now, I've dealt with this during this last week in my devotions, but Jesus, I want to remind you again, Jesus said this. He came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Folk, I don't know, as you've been reading my devotions this week, I trust that you've grasped the wonder of that statement. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But first of all, can you imagine what the disciples were feeling when they met with Jesus for the last time? You know, I'm sure they were pretty shaken. The events of the last few days before this ascension, the death and the resurrection and all the visions and all the experience that they had of encountering him. And now he says, I'm going away now. I'm sure they were kind of wondering, how will we ever manage without Jesus? And then Jesus comes and says this to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I wonder if you've ever been part of a team where you know you have the best player on your team. You know, it's wonderful to play in a team like that. I haven't had too many of those occasions. In fact, I can only remember one. I want to tell you about a time I played rugby as a hooker. Now, you know I'm not a small man. But on this particular occasion, I was the smallest front row player on my team. Friends, it was a wonderful rugby match. You see, on this particular match, as one of my props, I had a man called Mike Skitter. Mike Skitter, at one point in his life, had been the South African heavyweight boxing champion. In fact, he had even been a contender for the world title, and in fact had boxed for it as well. On the other prop, I had a man whose nickname in the town where I grew up was Tarzan, because whenever somebody spoke to him, he was treated as the king of the jungle. Now you can imagine what I felt like. Like I said, I'm not a small man. But Yara was between Mike Skitter and Tarzan as the hooker. We were playing just for a lowly third team. I was working at ISCOR, the Iron Steel Company at that point in time, and we were playing against Roodepoort. It was the last match of the season, and we were unbeaten. And we bolstered the team with a few extra players like Mike Skitter and Tarzan. Well, friends, I've never felt so strong in my life. I've never felt so strengthened in my life. I went into that game and played with abandon. Well, you know, we were doing very well. We scored a number of different tries. On one occasion, we scored a try, and as the opposition kicked the ball into the field or onto our side, I jumped up into the air to catch the ball. Yes, I could still jump up into the air in those days, but I jumped up into the air to catch the ball, and one of the opposition players ran underneath me and took my feet right out from me, and I landed wham on my back, and almost knocked myself out as I hit the ground. Well, my players came around me. I vaguely recall old Mike Skitter. He had this very funny kind of drawl. He said, "Don't muni worry, but don't worry, brut. We'll get them." Well, at the next scrum, one of the opposition players who had tackled me. Now, I don't want to advocate, you know, dirty play in rugby. Don't misunderstand me. But this man who had tackled me, taken my feet out from under me, his head just popped out of the loose scrum. He was knocked out absolutely cold. You see, Mike Skitter wasn't the greatest boxer in the world, but he had the most powerful shorthand jab there was in the business at that point in time. Well, he clobbered this guy just one shot. Nobody even saw that. He was very fast. But, man, It was wonderful. We played a great match that day and won. The disciples of Jesus' friends were strengthened by that revelation. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Hey friends, forget about Mike Skitter or Tarzan. We've got Jesus on our team. We're strengthened by him. He's the prop and the lock and the loose forward and the scrum off. He is the rest of the team. We're just kind of insignificant. With Jesus on our side, friends, there is nothing we need to fear. Secondly, when Jesus left this earth, not only did he strengthen his disciples with a revelation, he entrusted his disciples with a task. Of course, we know the task. We call it the Great Commission. And it goes, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, I'm going to get into all the details of the task today. We know what the details are. I'm going to say just three things. First of all, this task that is being entrusted to us, friends, the task is, first of all, to represent the task giver. When Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, friends, what he is saying is, you are representing me when you're doing this job. Do we realize that every time we do something as Christians, we represent Christ on earth? Whether we're doing a good thing or whether we're not, why are we surprised that the name of Christ has got such a bad reputation? There's nothing wrong with the name of Jesus, friends. The problem lies with how people experience that name. I'll never forget a story the principal of our college told us about a very famous Baptist pastor called Dr. Doak. He was a missionary into Swaziland at one stage, but at one point in time, he was the pastor of the Troyville Baptist Church. Living in Troyville, he heard about a certain lawyer who had been kind of attacked by the police. That lawyer just happened to be a man called Mahatma Gandhi. Of course, we know who he is. He's the great famous leader of India. Well, Dr. Doak invited Mahatma Gandhi into his home. After being kicked off the station and out of the train and being abused by the police in South Africa, Dr. Doak took him into his home and ministered to him. And at one point in time, Dr. Doak asked him the question, why don't you become a Christian? And Mahatma Gandhi said these words to him, I would be happy to be a Christian if it were not for the Christians. How sad, friends. We must never forget the task is to represent the task giver. And what kind of representatives are we on earth? Secondly, friends, the task is to continue the work of the task giver. Jesus says, go and make disciples. You see, while Jesus was on this earth, one of his main tasks, friends, was to make disciples. He invested into the lives of a group of about 120 people over a period of 3 years. How do we know that? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 15 says this. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. But, of course, we know that special focus was paid on 12. And we know even that among the 12, special focus was paid more on Peter and James and John. But, friends, the task of Jesus was disciple-making. See, friends, let me remind you, our task is not to make converts. That's the task of the task giver. Our task, friends, is to complete the work of the taskmaster. And the task giver says this, teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Friends, we don't need to create anything in this world, in this church. We don't need to make new theology. We don't need to do anything else other than telling others about who Jesus is. There's nothing more. It's all that's required of us. This task, friends, the task that the task giver has entrusted us is to represent him, is to continue his work. But friends, let me remind you, this task is a matter of eternal life or death. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it says this, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, regardless of what denomination you may, what different denominations may believe about baptism, friends, every group believes it's the sign of entering the church, the bride of Christ. While we know baptism doesn't save, I want to make that very clear. You're not going to be saved because of baptism. There are groups that believe in baptism or regeneration, but we don't believe that, friends. Every group, every church group believes this is important. What it represents is the salvation that has happened in the heart. That's the task, friends. The task is a matter of life and death. Jesus said it, whoever believes will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's the task. Our task is to tell others about Jesus. We can't make them a convert, but we can tell them about Jesus. That's what we need to do. So, friends, when Jesus left this earth, not only did he strengthen his disciple with the revelation, not only did he entrust his disciple with a task, thirdly, when Jesus left this earth, friends, he blessed his disciples with a blessing. Oh, what an encouragement that is. In the Luke account of the ascension, it says this, when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Friends, what a great encouragement. As Jesus leaves, he speaks a word of encouragement over his disciples. I'm reminded of the priestly blessing. And the priestly blessing, friends, is a wonderful blessing. This is what the priestly blessing says in Numbers chapter 6. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Now, friends, if the priestly blessing is such a wonderful encouragement, friend, the blessing of Jesus must surely be doubly that. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Friends, was the blessing only for the disciples? I don't believe so. Jesus, friends, intends to bless us all. Jesus wants his face to shine upon us. Jesus wants to be gracious to us. Jesus wants to give us his peace. Jesus wants to put his name on us so that we will be blessed by being in the presence of Jesus himself. Fourthly, when Jesus left this earth, friends, He promised his disciples a gift. In verse 4, it says of Acts, on one occasion, while he was eating them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Friends, Jesus was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which would be entrusted to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And let me remind you, that same gift is given to all of us who entrust our lives to Jesus for salvation. Jesus himself said, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Friend, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Jesus at one point in time. And when Jesus says in Matthew 28, surely I'm with you, he's talking about his presence through the Holy Spirit. Friends, everybody has that gift. You may say, I don't have that gift, Pastor. Let me remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works over all of them in all men. Verse 7 says this, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Friend, the gift of the Holy Spirit isn't limited just to the disciples. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for all. That's what the early church was doing. As they went around, they told the church, this gift for yours is yours when you become a Christian. Some of them had received the gift at first, but they later received it. Friends, when you become a Christian, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friend, that's the wonderful gift the Father has given to us, the wonderful gift Jesus promised. It's the wonderful gift of the very presence of Christ in our lives on a daily basis. Jesus hasn't left us as orphans, friends. Jesus hasn't left us alone. Jesus promises to be with us every single moment. Finally, when Jesus left this earth, he comforted his disciples with an expectation. What's that expectation? Well, Acts chapter 1 carries on in verse 9. It says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their skies. They were looking intently up into the skies as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. He has the comfort of the expectation, friends. Jesus is coming again. Listen to what he says in John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me where I am. Friends, what encouragement that is. For the loved ones who have gone before us, they're there taking up residence in that house that the Father has. They're waiting for us to come and join them. And friends, the comfort of the expectation is that if Jesus calls or he comes, friends, he's going to take us to be with him so that we may also be where he is. Friends, when Jesus left this earth. Friends, I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're encouraged when you remember that when Jesus left this earth, he strengthened his disciples with a revelation. All authority is given to me. When Jesus left this earth, friends, he entrusted his disciples with a task and with us with a task, friends. When Jesus left this earth, he blessed his disciples with a blessing. When Jesus left this earth, he promised his disciples a gift. When Jesus left this earth, friends, he comforted us with an expectation. Jesus is coming again. As sure as he left, as sure you can be, he's coming again. Let's get busy with the task, friends. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Lord, what great encouragement that is to us. That you did not leave us alone, Lord. You did not leave us without any equipment or tools or any vision or tasks, Lord. You've left us with all these vital things. Thank you that the final one of those, Lord, is that we can look forward with expectation to you coming back again. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you as you continue through the rest of this day. And remember, on Thursday, Jesus is coming again. Amen.